dead.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to Craft Beer Is Dead. I am one of your hosts, Chris, and this week, Bree and I had the pleasure of speaking to Sean Nordquist of the Florida Brewers Guild. Florida's Brewers Guild is doing some amazing things for breweries throughout the state, and we can't wait to kind of delve in and pick his brain in regards to certain things that they're working on, certain programs, and especially as we kind of come out of this last couple of years and see what the guild has in store for everyone. If you haven't done so already, please follow us on social media, Facebook and Instagram. Listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, amongst others. Leave us reviews. Always check out our sponsors, one of them being Sticker Wolf. And yeah, here we go. Without further ado, we have our guest today with us, Sean Nordquist with the Florida Brewers Guild. How you doing today, man?
I'm doing great.
Awesome, man. You want to tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got started in, what is exactly your role with the Florida Brewers Guild?
So I'm the executive director of the Florida Brewers Guild.
Sounds fancy.
Oh, it is very fancy. basically, I'm the point person and the face of the guild. Well, there's a lot of people involved in doing stuff on a volunteer basis, our board of directors and all that. I'm the one who manages membership, and I put together the festivals, and I work closely with our lobbyist and general counsel in Tallahassee. And this is my full-time position. It's what I do. I come to it from, I've been involved in the beer world as a volunteer and advocate and an appreciator, for a long time. I started off as a beer blogger back when that was still a big thing. There was a lot of us. I started probably in 2008, 2009, when there weren't very many breweries in Florida. I was one of the founding members of Tampa Bay Beer Week, and I was on the first board of directors and ultimately was the chair of that board. And then when my term ended, happened to coincide with when the previous director of the Florida Guild stepped down and moved out of state. They were looking to hire somebody full time. It just happened to be at that same time, and I left my my job in education and and came over to the beer world full time.
I was like, I didn't know that either. What did you do in education?
So my actually background is in environmental science and education. I was teaching environmental education and running programs for schools around the Tampa Bay area, out of the community college. We would do programs taking kids out in the bay, taking them out into the mangroves, into the hardwood forests, stuff like that. Teaching
that's pretty
about
cool.
Ecosystems and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, that's my graduate work was in conservation biology.
Always had a terrible, boring job.
Oh, yeah.
I was always sitting in an office doing nothing.
I did work in IT for a number of years,
did
though.
You?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Oh, man, that probably helps so much now, though.
Yes. Well, I mean, a lot of the stuff has changed, but a lot of it hasn't.
Yeah.
There's still the first two questions you ask are, is it on and can you turn it on and off?
Yeah. So, blow into the cartridge.
Blow into the cartridge. Exactly. See, I remember doing that. I did that a lot. I remember when there was no such thing as a hard drive. Everything was on floppy disks. So
what's a floppy? I'm just kidding. Yeah. I remember that one. I still had to do that too.
You probably don't know, though.
I never touched one. No.
It's the 3D printed version of the save icon.
Pretty much. That's awesome.
That is super cool. I did not know that actually about you. So that's very interesting.
Well, I'm excited to sit down and kind of pick your brain on some stuff too, because, Florida Brewers Guild had a pretty clear direct path up until this whole COVID thing. And you still do, but that definitely disrupted a lot of stuff. So I kind of wanted to go into, what were the challenges of being in a position where you're trying to be the voice for many and it's not a ubiquitous voice anymore. It's a very personalized situation for everyone. So it sounds like it's trying to hurt like
herd cats together or something. But
it's like trying to herd drunk cats with ADHD. I mean, it's
I've done that, and it's not easy.
Yeah. So yeah, I would say that up until pre-COVID, it was. Not, of course, you're never going to have everybody always on the same page, but everybody kind of had the same focus, and we knew what we were looking for legislatively. We knew what we were looking for from an industry, and everybody was fairly much agreed on the way to move that forward. Everybody kind of had their personal take on it, but then when your world turns upside down, it became much more of what do I need to do to keep my business alive another week? What do I need to do? I'm being told that I can do this, but someone over here is saying I can't do this. So, excuse me. So that became a, all right, what do we, we've got these executive orders coming in. We have these orders from DBPR. We have local, initiatives and mandates from cities and counties and all that. And very few of them matched up.
Yeah.
So somebody in Tallahassee is dealing with different stuff than people in St. Pete or in Jacksonville or Miami. And the reality is there were very few clear-cut answers.
Well, and on that note, too, and not to interrupt you, but even something that we personally experienced, too, is you'd get the mandate down, but even the person coming in to enforce it wouldn't fully understand what was going on.
Absolutely.
As well. Mm-hmm. And they're human beings as well. They're getting frustrated. They have no idea what their direction is. And they're kind of day by day, just like everyone else. So it just seemed like this really weird, confusing echo chamber of everything.
It really was. And that was probably one of the biggest struggles was, the mandate would come down and mandates by design are supposed to be broad because you can't really sit down and say, okay, but for this section of the industry, you have to do this. And for these people, and so you would have, this mandate that would say you can do this or you can't do this, but a, an enforcement agent over in Vero Beach is going to interpret that differently than the enforcement agent in Sarasota. Mm-hmm. And they're looking at the exact same page and, one saying, well, no, this doesn't mean that, it means this. And so we would say, we would get calls, honestly, it was every day for weeks about different scenarios. And our job is not to tell people what to do, but to find out as much information as we can and get that out to as many people as we can. So we, working with our lobbyist in Tallahassee, who has relationships with a lot of these people, trying to get clear-cut answers from the higher-ups, saying, okay, your enforcement agents are saying two different things. Can we get clarification on these things? That was very challenging.
I'm sure.
It was challenging for us, but it was very frustrating, obviously, for our members and who were understandably frustrated, but also scared. I mean, you're talking about dumping everything you have into making this business successful, and you've done everything you can, and then what a lot of ways can seem very arbitrary, somebody saying, sorry, you can't operate your business right now.
Yeah.
We don't know when you're going to be able to do it again. We're doing some of this other stuff. You, and I know for a lot of people, it felt like your business isn't important enough to us to really put a whole lot more thought into it. So just, hang tight. And then you're dealing with trying to get, PPP money and trying to get, other sources of income. Say, hey, we just want to sell beer to go. Well, we don't know if you can do that. Well, we should be able to.
Wave your little wand. Wave your little wand.
And some of this stuff should have been able to, in my opinion, should have been able to have been done via an executive order or not even an executive order, just a statement from DBPR, a blanket statement saying, yes, beer to go is legal. You can set up curbside. At least for now, at least that way you can sell stuff out of your tap room. And then the whole back and forth on whether or not you had food and what qualified as having a restaurant. And that's where things started to get really squishy and even more frustrating because we would be told one thing and then be told that we'd have an answer. And then when we didn't get an answer, some of us might have made some inflammatory statements on social media. But it was... And then we got a lot of lip service and a tour around to have a meet and greet and talk about the issues, which didn't turn into anything. But, you know, a lot of us looked at it like, this is a stalling tactic.
Oh, hands down. Yeah, because I went to the one here in Orlando, and like I even went out to him afterwards and was just like, hey, what about something like this? What about something like this? And he's like, that all sounds like great ideas. And then I don't think we've ever heard from him again.
No. And it was the same thing in Jacksonville. It was the same thing in St. Pete. Yeah, it was a dog and pony show with no action taken on the end. But it bought them a couple months. When they keep saying that, and you know, as things begin to reopen more and more, and you know, then breweries have to deal with their local mandates. You know, cities requiring now, cities don't have the ability to shut places down, but they do. You know, they did have the ability to require masks and you know limit capacity and things like that. So every city was dealing with that, and then a lot of people were angry at. You know, they say, "Oh, why is the city saying we can't have our bars open?" It's like, well, the city's not. That's actually from the state.
Yeah.
But most people don't know and don't care where that comes from. Obviously, the breweries and bars know where that comes from. But yeah, so dealing with a lot of that stuff, I mean, it completely threw all of our plans and ideas and sort of initiatives on the wayside. It's like, all right, all that stuff is important, but it's, you know, right now we just need to see how many people we can save, you know, by the end of 2020.
Yeah.
Fortunately, we didn't lose. I really was not as optimistic, about a lot of our members making it, simply because I didn't know where their revenue was going to come from. We did lose some, but not nearly as many as I thought we would.
Yeah, same here. I mean, like, it's everyone's business model is a little different, too.
Sure.
And some people have a little bit more strengths and weaknesses. But, you know, I figured that would be something that would cripple a lot of places pretty
heavy. How many did close?
I think you're probably looking at maybe half a dozen.
No.
And I mean, a number of those were ones that were already in places of struggling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not all of them are out of the woods yet. Some are still, you know, trying. And well, I look at Due South as an example. They definitely took a big hit during COVID. They were, on one hand, they're very fortunate because they're an established brand. They've got, you know, distribution. They make a great product. They're well managed. They've been around for, you know, 10 years, however long it was. But they got severely impacted by that, and then, you know, trying to rehire and ramp back up. And at the same time, they were with Brown Distributing.
Mm-hmm, I remember that.
And so, you know, Brown sold to...
It kind of, like, it got chopped up over a bunch of different...
But basically, Brown, you know, sold off all their assets. And so now they're with whatever distributor it was down there. And I think for them, they thought, you know what? This is the last straw. This was, we've had a good run. We're done. We're out. Which is unfortunate. I mean, I've been a fan of theirs since they opened. I know them. They're really good people. They, and like I said, you know, they made really great beer. So I'm sad to see them, have to come to an end like that. And there were a number of others, smaller places that just couldn't make it through. But we also opened. I mean, there's a number of breweries that actually opened last year. Oh,
yeah. That's got to be insane, like, because I
even
remember
around
how,
here.
Yeah, how crazy it was just trying to get this place open, let alone having to worry about, like, wait, we can only open with the front door and just selling beer out of the front. Right, like, exactly. We thought we were going to have like 300 people. Yeah, that's got to be insane, man.
Yeah, and that was interesting to watch them. People say, you know what? You know, and they'd been building and building, and then, of course, everything shuts down, and you think, oh, God, what's going to happen? And then August, you know, September, October, like, all right, well, we're opening. Really? I mean, good for you, but...
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that was good to see.
Even at Benny, at Beer Commission, he opened up kind of right in the mm-hmm. heat of everything, and I was very surprised.
Yeah, we had Grand Central Brew House opened in St. Pete, Bastet Brewing in Tampa opened.
Oh, yeah, we've been there.
Yeah, and I mean, both of whom are making really great beer. Both have just celebrated their first anniversary.
That's awesome.
Which is, you know, great. I love both those breweries and the people at them.
Basquiat's kind of out there too. They're not really around a whole lot of other breweries, are they?
Well, they're just, I mean, technically they're part of Ybor.
Are they?
Actually, if you walk out their front door and look off to your right, you can see Coppertail.
Oh, okay, that's funny.
So they're across the street diagonally from Coppertail.
I guess just where we drove from, it felt like we were in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, they're on the opposite side of Adamo Drive from Ybor City.
So oh, that's cool.
But yeah, so yeah, they're in a place where there are some other breweries nearby. Maybe not exactly walking distance, but they're there.
Close enough.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, I mean that's so coming out of all of that. You know, also going on in 2020, you know, there was a lot of other issues besides COVID. There, you know, there was the civil unrest. There was, you know, the Me Too movement was still, you know, building. And, you know, as we know, the brewing industry is not immune to any of that.
No, God, no.
And so, again, every business having to decide, you know, if or how or where they want to, you know, participate in, you know, in those conversations, which is not an easy thing to do, especially if you find yourself right in the middle of it.
Yep.
And you know, there are breweries that, as we know, found themselves right in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and that's not just in Florida. That's
international.
I was going to say it's not even just
we
in America.
Actually
that's,
had
that is international.
Less in Florida than I think a lot of states, but still.
Yes,
which is fortunate.
Yeah,
it's fortunate. I will say it surprised me.
Like
every time the stories came out, I'm looking. I'm like, all right, where's yeah. Florida? Like I'm just waiting for these big bombs to drop.
I mean, just out of curiosity, but also you just never know what's really going on.
Oh sure,
you know?
Absolutely.
So you're just like.
Absolutely. And you know, and then there's, you know, some things that you know about. You're like, all right, I'm waiting for this to come to light.
Yeah, that's true.
And, you know, it always will one way or another.
Yep.
So navigating all that and then figuring out what role do I play? What role does the guild play in those conversations as well? 2020 and even 2021 has been a very different time period than before that.
Oh, absolutely, man. For everyone listening, I'm sure they're basically just like, shit, yeah, it was.
Yeah. There were certainly times where I was like, well, is the guild going to survive this? What is the guild's role if this goes on, you know, a year, 2 years, you know, I mean, if this pandemic turns into, you know, where everything is like literally shut down. What does that do for our industry? What does that do for the guild? What does that do? I mean, me personally being selfish, what does that do for my job? That, you know, what role do I have to play in that? Does that, I mean, it already has changed my role, but what does that look like long term? I think it also, on the flip side, that also really made us look at what role can the guild play as far as providing resources?
Yeah.
You know, we're not a enforcement agency. I can't levy fines or, you know, file charges or anything like that against somebody who is you know, having problems. What I can do is say, hey, you know, as a member of the guild, we have resources for mental health. We have resources for HR. We have resources for, you know, information on keeping your workplace safe, both like OSHA type safe and also as a safe workplace. Mm. You know, we have resources for, financial, you know, consultation. I mean, that kind of stuff is a place where the guild can play a role in saying, you know, we can't tell you what to do with your business. We can't tell you how to treat your employees. You know, you should treat them well.
Yeah.
But you know, it's not our role to say, you have to do this, you have to do, but we can say is, hey, you know what, here's the law. we can say, you know, when you're doing your hiring process, it's illegal to ask someone if they plan on getting pregnant.
Yeah.
It's illegal.
Oh,
to,
shit.
I mean, maybe unless it's your own spouse, but I guess, but that's probably not okay for the interview. But it, you know, it's illegal to ask somebody if they're married, to ask their sexual mm-hmm. orientation. There's a lot of things that are, you know, these aren't secrets.
Yeah.
I mean, these are things that, but
it should be common sense.
Do you think breweries should have to post, or do you think it's the right move for them to post their mission statements? Like, do you think that stuff like that should be like reevaluated and re-put out there to the public? How do you feel about that?
I think obviously it's every business needs to look at their model and decide, you know, what it is they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
I think that includes they should know, and this isn't just breweries, this is any business, you should know what your mission is, what your values are, what things you will and will not tolerate in your business.
Mm-hmm.
As a consumer, I like knowing that about a business. And I, you know, it's like if I read through a business's mission statement and values and all that kind of stuff, and it aligns with mine, I'm much more likely to, you know, to use that business, whatever it might be. I don't know that it's necessary. I think it's probably if you have values that you're proud of, I think you should put them out there. I think because people want to know that, and people want to know that, and I think that people also want to know if it's a business whose values they don't share. Sometimes that can, you know, that can get into sticky situations.
Oh yeah.
You know, own who you are, you know, when it comes to things like workplace safety, workplace, you know, people being, you know, people feeling good about being there as an employee, you know, that very often comes through in the customer experience. You know, people who like working in a place, who are happy there, who feel valued there, I think that comes through in their interaction with the customer. I mean, and I don't care if it's a bar back, mm-hmm. Cellar person, brewer, whatever it might be. If you see that person work and they're, you know, you can tell they like doing their job. They like being there. They like being part of the family of that business. And the people who don't buy into that tend to not last there very long.
Mm-hmm.
You certainly go someplace and you know the person who's whether you know they might be pouring their beer, if they're just there to make a paycheck, you can tell.
Oh, it shows immediately,
man. Absolutely tell.
There have been amazing breweries I've been to where just off that alone, I'm like, I'm not going to go back.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And that's true of restaurants. It's true of bars, car dealerships. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. If the person doesn't believe in, you know, in the business and what they're doing, that I think that shows.
Yeah.
So, you know, back to your question about, you know, should a brewery put out there, again, it's up to them. I would personally, if I owned a brewery, I would make those kind of statements, you know, very public. And I would also, the caveat to that is you better make sure that you're following up with that.
Oh yeah.
Because if you can put out that statement, but if that's not the reality of what's happening in your business, whether it's in front of customers or behind closed doors, that will get out. And just referring back to these are our, these are our core values. That's not going to fly.
Exactly.
You're going to go, mm-hmm.
You're gonna go, oh, really? These are your core values? But what about all this stuff that, you know, we're, so yeah, I think that, you know, identifying and understanding your core values are important, and making sure that you abide by them, whether or not you make them public. I think it's important to, you know, that should be at the core of every business decision you make.
Yeah.
No, hands down. Couldn't agree more with that one.
Agreed?
Yeah.
What you got?
Well, coming out, like, because you were kind of talking about coming out of, you know, the trajectory of last year, and a little bit kind of going into this year too, as things are kind of calming down and you're less of a crisis hotline, more or less, and more of like a...
Absolutely.
I kind of love
Absolutely.
That.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I will say, like, everyone has their own opinion on it. I definitely have a lot of respect for you and the team too, just because that's got to be a very difficult position to be in. Going from trying to be like, all right, well, we're working on these actual like legal issues and trying to do this, to turning into literally what, you know, I watched the forums and things like that. I won't call anyone out, but people forgot they were running their own business. Like they were just like, well, what do we do? And you're like, fucking figure it out like everyone else is. Like, not to be an asshole, but at the same time, like, everyone's in the same boat you are, man. Yeah. I mean, like, you kind of got to like pivot, adapt, see what works, see what doesn't kind of mm-hmm. thing. So, coming out of something like that, you know, what are some things that you guys are working on? I know one of the big things was always, you know, working on the lobbying side for either franchise reform, self-distribution. There's been a lot of highlights with things like mental health, There's been, you know, you guys implemented the insurance program as well. Mm-hmm. So yeah, if you want to delve into any of those.
Yeah. So, I mean, and a lot of these were things that were the top of the list before the pandemic hit.
And you guys like lived in Tallahassee, it seemed like.
Oh, yeah. It was, I mean, so obviously the legislative side of stuff is and will always be the primary goal, and working to make Florida a better place for breweries to do business, whether it's out of your tap room, in distribution, whatever it might be. But some of the initiatives that we had that were moving along really well were things like healthcare, payroll services, education, mental health. I mean, all these things that I was really gung-ho about that all got sort of pushed aside as we dealt with 2020. But as we started coming out of it, and it was, like you said, less of a 24/7 crisis hotline. yeah, I'm getting texts at 2 a.m. Of screenshots of things that they saw somebody else post. Like,
it's probably every emotion too, like pissed off, crying, said that, like that roller coaster for you to go through their emotions.
Yep.
Well, dude, I honestly, like, you know, just speaking candidly, I check that stuff daily, and you would watch like certain people are like, you can kind of get where their head's at. And there was a lot of inflammatory comments. There's a lot of very opinionated comments.
You could tell who was kind of losing their fucking mind.
And that's the thing. Like, it's easy, especially in a time of high stress, high concern, like not knowing what's going to happen. It's very easy to react emotionally and negatively towards things like that. So mm-hmm. I think you and your team did really well, because I'm sure being a fly on the wall, you're like, these motherfuckers, like, those kind of things. But at the same time, being like, well, what
God,
we can say from
it.
God,
that would have been fun, like, to listen to. I wish you guys had like a docuseries of behind the scenes of you guys through 2020.
I have to give credit to a number of my board members who really talked me off the ledge a few times. Yeah, there was some times where I definitely wanted to have some equally inflammatory reactions to some of the things.
Oh, I'm sure, man.
But also, you know, I also recognize that, like you said, these were and I hate using the word unprecedented because it gets so overused, but it really, you know, it really was, this was not something that anyone had dealt with before. Nobody knew how to deal mm-hmm. with it. And so everybody was doing the best they could. Everybody was terrified that this was the end for their business. And that puts everybody on the most stressed of stressed. Mm-hmm. And nobody was on their best behavior. And so I totally get that. And I don't fault anybody for that, because, you know, we've all been in those positions. So I don't hold any animosity towards anybody.
They snap
towards,
once or twice. That's fine. If it lasts a couple months.
Well, when you start making the attacks personal, then I take exception to that. And,
oh, yeah.
But I held my tongue. But anyway, as we got, you know, further through it and things began to calm a little bit, we were able to get back towards some of those programs and initiatives that we looked at. And we also realized so many of these things were even more important now that we've been through all that. Things like having health insurance, having mental health access, you know, figuring out how to lower some of your costs on things like payroll or HR services. So we were able to go through and work with a number of companies to put together these programs. So with the health insurance, that's something we've been working on for over 2 years. Mm-hmm. And it was a much more complex and complicated process than we ever thought it would be. There's a lot of legalities involved, and it's one of those things that every state is different in their, as far as their laws go, as far as what associations can do with group plans. We finally found one that was able to put together a whole suite of products, from basic telemedicine only or prescription services all the way through to a full suite of healthcare services, like a HMO, PPO kind of thing.
How many breweries actually have, like, quote unquote, full healthcare?
Through our program, I mean, it only just finally launched.
I can only name one that I even know of.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's a far cry from what it should be, I think. And it's an industry where, like, you know, I'll just go ahead and say it, like, a lot of times people are paid on passion. There's not a lot of money in it. Yeah. Like, people don't open a brewery to get rich.
I don't think people think about the healthcare part of it either. I think a lot of people think, like, especially back of the house, you're full-time or mm-hmm. even part-time. I think a lot of people, especially consumers, just assume that you have it you know?
Right. And I would say overwhelmingly, there's not healthcare coverage in the brewing industry in Florida. Mm-hmm. You know, unless you get some of the larger breweries, yeah, who can afford plans for everyone.
Yeah.
It's not affordable.
No. All I know of is, honestly, name drop because they deserve it, is Angry Chair. I can't believe how well they take care of.
I know there's a few locally too, but
I guarantee
speak
there
them,
is. But like, that's the only one I know of that is just like I've heard and what they do, and it's kind of remarkable.
Yeah, and you know, kudos to those that are able to do it.
Yeah.
But it is
expensive.
It is
shit.
Very expensive to try to go it on your own as a small business providing health insurance. Hmm.
Do you need a full lawyer to even try to look into it too? Or is it something you can do yourself?
I mean, you can do it yourself, but going it on your own without some kind of group plan is going to be prohibitively expensive for most small businesses, which is why we wanted to put together this association plan. And it also allows the breweries to say, you know, we want to have full coverage across the board. Or they might, well, this is a hybrid plan where it's, you know, some of it's telemedicine, some of it's this, or being able to pick and choose which plan out of the choices you have. And by pooling the numbers of all the members and then the total number of employees across all that, it actually adds up to a fairly large pool of people. So the costs come down.
So you're basically getting... It's so like shitty. You're getting a quantity discount.
That's exactly
on
right.
People's well-being.
That's absolutely true.
But I mean, if that's how you have to play the game, it's a smart way to go.
It's like going to Costco for fucking healthcare. Like, you know, you're getting
so I mean, that's the whole premise of insurance is the larger the risk pool, the less number of actual claims you have to pay. I mean, that's the nature of insurance.
That's a whole different topic.
We could do several episodes on healthcare in America. But so that was one big thing, and being able to finally pull the trigger on that and get that done. Wow. And so I know there's a number of breweries that are working on, and the process takes a while. Especially the more employees you have to.
What's
fill
the them. Average? Would you say? I mean, just out of curiosity,
average what
like time that it would take. Start to actually getting it?
Well, a lot of it is on the brewery to get their information in, because for each employee you have to do a they call it a survey, but it's information about the employee, age.
Even if they smoke, like, isn't it kind of
a lot of that kind of
stuff. It's like standard doctor.
I mean,
right?
It's standard doctor. And so that, you know, that way then the underwriters come in and say, okay, well, here's the plan, and here's how much it costs per person, and all that kind of stuff based on the plan that you pick. So if you can get all your ducks in a row straight up front and give them all the information, the turnaround on that isn't too long. It's probably a few weeks, probably.
Oh, I'm sure that's good to know.
But what we've found is that the getting all the data from the breweries, just getting them to tell what beers they're bringing to a festival is hard.
Wait, there's a festival? what am I doing this weekend? Jesus Christ.
we all know, this is an industry where submitting paperwork is part of the job, but it's not always done in the most expeditious of manners. Mm-hmm. So that's the biggest slowdown.
I mean, brewers can't read, so I mean,
you're not wrong. I've ended up in Illinois on the freeway system way too many times because I didn't know where I was going.
So then another initiative we did was payroll, and one thing that we found was a lot of breweries and small businesses are paying a lot more for just basic payroll services than they need to. Mm-hmm. The payroll industry is essentially unregulated. So anybody can start a payroll company.
Really?
Yeah. And so what we were able to, the company that the guild switched to last year to do our payroll is a company out of Sarasota and they basically white label ADP payroll. It dropped our payroll costs by, 300%. I mean, just the actual per check
is ADP
cost.
Like the biggest or one of?
I think
that's the only one I've ever used.
It's the only name I know.
I think two of my friends actually work for them.
They do.
They're massive. And so what we have done is actually created a the Florida Brewers Guild payroll, and it's ADP on the back end, and it's basic payroll services. How many checks you need per week? Is it biweekly? Whatever. How many employees? The W-2s, taxes, all that kind of stuff, that all gets taken care of as well. And you can do direct deposit or physical check. You know, it doesn't do any of the additional HR type services unless you want those. Those are available. But we've found that it saves people a lot of money per check, per month, per year. And in a time where every dollar counts, it can actually add up to quite a bit.
Oh, absolutely.
And then there is a small percentage that comes back to the guild, you know, as a revenue stream for the guild. And because we are a not-for-profit organization, we don't have to reach a certain threshold of revenue to ourselves. So we're able to drop it even lower as far as our margins on it. So we've been able to do that for a number of breweries, save them some money for, you know, one of these very basic services that everybody needs, and it's a win for everyone. The other big initiative, and I really started this almost from the when I got started with the guild, is the mental health side of stuff.
I'm glad you segued into that, because I think I saw that during the Florida Brewers Guild conference, what, 2 or 3 years ago? Uh-huh. Was like the first time I actually saw it addressed. And yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, just speaking from personal experience, and not to, you know, kind of speak for you or yourself as well, but like it's one of those kind of, it's a very underrated situation in our industry. We're basically in an environment that like encourages overconsumption, is less likely to speak up over like unhealthy habits, which in any other industry would be insane. Like,
oh, for sure.
Yeah, if I saw people drinking as much as I've seen them in this industry and they were an accountant, people would be like, dude, what are you doing? It's crazy to me. But
yeah. So yeah, you're absolutely right, and which is why we've had mental health discussions at every conference, because it is, you know, it's one of those topics that's uncomfortable. It's you know, there's so much stigma around it, and I'll even extend that to there's especially for men, there's so much stigma around discussing mental health that. It's very easy just to, you know what? I feel bad. I'm just going to have another one of these and I'll be fine.
Or I feel good. I had a great day.
I had a great day. So I'm in here. Yeah. Well, so I'll have another. And it's, last year, within the first 3 months of 2020, we lost four people in our industry, in Florida to suicide.
Wow.
And it was, you know, it was just this gut punch after gut punch, and we're like, all right, we've got to do something. And you know, having sessions at the conference is important and it's good, but at the very least, having resources, having a phone number to call, having you know, a place to go. Now, I can't, you know, I'm not a therapist. Mm-hmm. I'm not a counselor. I can give you numbers of counselors. I can give you loads of websites with resources for you or some of you might be concerned about. And then you run into, and we circle back around to the cost of healthcare, because therapy isn't cheap. Therapy is not available to people who don't have extra money or insurance. One of the programs that I made sure was included in this healthcare program it's a employee assistance program, EAP. If anyone has had insurance before, it's something that is included in almost all plans, and gives employees a resource for therapy, and it doesn't have to be related to work, you know, because I mean, work might be great, but home life might be awful. You might just suffer from depression, you know, that has nothing to do with home life or work. But it can be a very valuable resource for people who don't feel like they have anywhere to turn or anyone to talk to. There are a number of phone numbers to call, you know, suicide hotlines and, you know, counselors ready to talk. And there's volunteer organizations that, you know, whose, you know, primary job it is to talk to people who are at that, you know, that feeling of hopelessness, that feeling of, you know, nothing matters. And it's a really difficult topic to discuss. It's a really difficult one to even to address. It goes often hand in hand with overconsumption. Mm-hmm. They don't equal each other, but you will very frequently see them, overlap.
One will usually cause the other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's no easy answers to it, but being able to provide resources for people, you can't make them use them, but you can let them know that they're there. You can let them know that that there are other options, that there are that there's things that can be done, and that there are people that care, that people that are listening and people that care. And I think that's a message that just, it cannot be repeated enough. It's very easy to get, lost in our industry with, today is an amazing day. I'm having so much fun, and now I'm having some more drinks, and now we're at the end of the night and I'm feeling very alone, and I've had a lot of drinks, and I'm, mm-hmm. And I don't have anybody to talk to. I think probably anybody listening knows that either they've been there or they know someone that's been there. We need to do better about recognizing that.
The stigma from it too.
That's the biggest thing. That's a huge part.
Yeah.
Huge
and then part. Like, cause every situation is different. It's not a black or white scenario with it. I mean, mm-hmm. it's one of those kind of like, if you feel like what's happening, in your gut is just not right for your life and your lifestyle, or mm-hmm. that you know that you're dealing with things that you don't have help with, that's just a resource for you. Right. Like, it doesn't have to be this, you have a problem. It doesn't have to be this, like, something's wrong with you. It's just very much like, you're just in a situation at the moment that you need a little assistance out of, and there are things to help out with that.
And there's a peace of mind in having those resources, but I feel like also, even for bartenders who are basically people's therapists.
Oh my God.
So don't you feel like there's a peace of mind for a bartender to know, like, okay, let's say someone sits across from me and tells me some shit, and I can clearly see they're having a bad day. You can't leave your job. You're not going to call the police on them. You know, I feel like that's also kind of like a hidden thing that they at least know that they have someone that they could tell that to, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. And, you know, there's a number of programs, that work with, the service industry, to provide resources, that try to, draw some attention to it, reducing that stigma, letting people know that, it's okay to not be okay. It's, sort of the tag phrase, mm-hmm. but, that this happens to a lot of people. This is, you're not alone in this. Things can and will get better. There's people out there that are suffering like you are. Reiterating that, and the stigma part is just so hard, because, I know, I don't know about you, but I know growing up, especially among guys, and it's not that anybody means ill, but if you're like, yeah, man, I'm feeling really sad right now, the first thing they're going to do is just be all over you. I mean,
oh yeah, man, it's vulnerability.
Yeah. And it's not intended to be mean or cruel. I think it comes out of a place of discomfort. Like, mm-hmm. all right, so I'm going to turn this into a joke.
Well, because it's easier.
Or tell you to toughen up.
Exactly.
And how or then the, fucking the great is, does that feel?
It's easier to do that than it is to see someone you care about identify an issue that they're going through, and then have to look introspectively as well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's a lot scarier for a lot of people to go, oh shit, something might actually be wrong.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's a lot easier to just then be like, oh yeah, what's wrong with you? Toughen up. Like,
Toughen up.
Have a beer shot.
Yeah, man up. Do another shot. Yeah, for sure.
Like, on that same vein, I think one of my favorite sayings I've ever heard is just like, with mental health, like, it's not your fault, but it is your responsibility. So, like, if you're out there and you've just PSA, man, if you feel like something's going on, just find something. There's so many resources out there. You are not alone with that. And especially with the Florida Brewers Guild aspect of things on the website, even talking to the board members directly, they can always navigate you towards somebody who can actually help out. So,
exactly.
And the resources, I think it helps a lot. Like, finding even a club, if you're super into beer, get into the home brewing thing. It's like just trying to stay a little bit busier. But if you need to get away from beer, then
there's that too. I mean,
yeah. And that's it's interesting you mentioned that, because there's a, there are a number of people I know that have been in the industry for a long time who have stopped drinking.
Yeah.
Yep.
Completely. Or just for a period of time, or saying, oh, I'm only drinking on weekends now, or whatever it might be to they've recognized that, you know, this is a thing that might be out of control. I'm going to do what I can to try to level out a bit, and that's fine too. And if you have a friend or a loved one that is saying, you know what, I'm not drinking for a while, fucking let them do that.
Oh God,
dude,
yeah.
Seriously. Don't
even,
just
don't, come even, on. Yeah. Don't even pry that
don't
much
even
unless
pry.
They
just say, hey, you know what, good
yeah,
for you.
And, yeah. Not why. I wouldn't even ask why unless they started
absolutely.
Talking about why.
Or honestly, I'll challenge you on that one too. The moment you meet somebody like that who says that to you and you like reciprocate with aggression and like, oh, why not? Like, that's when you need to start being like, hey, maybe I need to start looking at like what my habits are, what my expectations
sure.
out of.
I say dope and then I'll go pour myself a beer because yeah. that's not my fucking life.
Like, we legit here, I mean, for anyone listening, we have like Heineken Zero and yeah. Sam Adams Zero in the
several,
back so that way we can go
options.
Back there, pour one and still hang out with everyone. Because I don't want to drink beer every single day.
Yeah.
It makes me like farty and bloaty.
They do it. They do it every
sure,
day.
Sure, blame it on that.
Yeah, sure, sure.
You see them dip into the cooler and walk back with a full beer. It's not like they're pulling it from the keg back there. It's
yeah, because I mean, like at the end of the day too, like anybody in the industry listening to this, we make and sell a legal drug. It is a drug. You have to define your own viewpoint, what it does within your life and where your borders are. Your borders might be different from someone else's, but at the same time, setting some sort of principle of like, all right, well, I allow this into my lifestyle this much and I feel responsible yeah. with doing that. And just kind of identifying like what could be an issue and you know, what you feel safe with. So
I love taking the breaks. I love like when I see the, even the January, dry Januarys or, mm-hmm. you know, or
I
someone,
do February 'cause it's
or
shortest.
Someone just... Someone just coming up with their own shits and gigs little challenge for themselves. I live for that. That's testing so many different components of yourself, but also like, you know, being like, meow, I had a tough talk with myself and told myself stop being a bitch. And I'm gonna go cry in a shower. I need a week off, and that yeah. I think is the strongest, you know, most bold move you could buy. And then also then posting about it, I think is also a very
yeah.
Bold
and
move.
And I think, you know, posting about it, you know, sort of. Makes you it requires you to have accountability
yeah,
for it.
Absolutely,
because it's, you know, it's far too. If you say to yourself, okay, I'm not gonna drink for the month of, you know, whatever, but you don't tell anybody, then it's mm-hmm. really easy to say, well, nobody's gonna know.
Nope, I tried.
I'm just yeah. gonna disappoint me, and I do that all the time.
Myself, and I'm already done. So yeah, I think, you know, if you know, doing that kind of thing and you know, setting yourself up for some kind of accountability.
And success. Not trying a 6-month period of time, knowing who you are as a person and not pushing it too far.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I think, you know, setting realistic expectations yeah. and, you know, at the end of a month, if you say, you know what, I can keep this up, you know, set it for another month.
But yeah. also too, on the same thing too, like with, you know, having friends who've been in that environment or knowing people personally who've gone through like 12-step programs mm-hmm. and those kind of things, like don't kill yourself if like, not literally, but like don't beat yourself
or
up.
Or that either. But
yeah, like obviously that. But like don't like beat yourself up so badly if you have a moment of like weakness. And
sure.
that's fine. We are
yeah.
human beings. That yeah. is going to happen. And you just got to like, because I feel like linearly speaking, a lot of people take that and be like, well, back to doing that again. And you can just reset the next day.
Yeah.
You can just like go back to like, all right, we'll start to get on day one.
I mean,
one.
It's
Let's
like clean eating.
Yeah.
You know, someone has a little mini candy bar and then they're like, duh. Fuck. Now yeah. the whole week shot. And then, you
guess
know.
I'm gonna go get Burger King
yeah.
now.
Yeah. Seriously. Yeah. Which, I mean, I've done this. That's speaking from experience. So.
I do it often with the food. Though,
often.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, all these things are pieces of, you know, trying to, you know, make the Guild a point of resource for as much as we can. You know, again, we can't tell people how to operate their business. We can't tell them how to run their lives. But we can offer information. We can offer education, resources, guidance on a lot of the stuff, from, you know, whether it's business related, whether it's, you know, health and safety related. We have access to resources of a lot of stuff that, you know, as members of the Guild, you know, that's part of what people... You know, it's part of why you're in the Guild is to do that, as well as the legislative stuff and the festivals and things like that. It's a message that we're trying to really amplify. You know, in the coming year is, you know, a lot of times people are like, well, what exactly does the Guild do? and you know, they said, well, I know you do the legislative stuff and the festival, but you know, but what else? And there's a lot. I mean, you know, obviously those things are big, big pieces of it. But there's a lot more to it, because so much of this other stuff is the foundation. You know, the people that work in the industry, if they're not okay, all the other stuff doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
So yeah, we try to make it as broad as possible.
Well, it's like compiling a resource library for, you know, everyone goes into opening a brewery or a business or whatever and goes like, everything's going to be awesome. Well, not many people say that, but you are going to run into problems. And at least with something like this, when you do run into a specific problem, there's at least something in the docket of as far as what you guys do that'll help them out with something. So,
and at this point, there's probably not a whole lot of questions people have that you haven't heard yet.
Oh, you just never know what's going to come up.
Oh, I'm sure there's always at least this point, you're like, yeah, all right, I think I've answered.
Yeah, there was. Yeah, we had more stuff coming up last year than I, ever. Like, well, what if we own 2% of a food truck? Does that count?
Oh my god! I bet there's mostly food related questions.
Well, there was. And... first it was, can you deliver? And then it was, can you self deliver direct to consumer? Can you sell curbside? And then, well, what does it mean to have food? Can we throw hot pockets in the microwave? Do you have to have?
Yes.
And again, a lot of that depended on what county you were in.
Yeah. Who do you think was the biggest pain in the ass county, if you can say, or no, offhand?
That's like, hard. I mean, it's hard
to
say.
Any of them that you just heard some just ridiculous interpretation, you're just like, all right, buddy.
We seem to have a lot out of, I can't remember who was in which county, and I don't want to name specific breweries, but
yeah.
There were some down in southwest Florida, where the agents down there were a little stubborn on their interpretation of the rules, even after being told that they were wrong.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Because never wrong.
Yeah. And I mean, some of that is, I know that Jacksonville had a few, and again, this came down to individual agents.
Yeah.
Obviously Miami and South Florida was a whole other animal, because they were under complete lockdown for a lot longer than anybody else. Mm-hmm. Then you have some of those rules that were so arbitrary, like, restaurants could be open, but bars couldn't. But this place is really a bar that happens to serve food. They have a restaurant license, so they count as a restaurant, even though they're, it's basically, it's wings and, jalapeno poppers. and slushy machines. I mean, it was, but that, because of their designation, they were allowed to be open. And they're packed person to person,
But because you can get a French fry, it's fine.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And then some places were requiring that you had food, like not just offer it, but like to be able to be in there and order your beer, you had to also order food.
I remember, was it up in Georgia where you guys went to a brewery and they every beer came with a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or something?
Pennsylvania.
Oh, Pennsylvania. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was like you had to open the bag of chips. You couldn't just have the chips on the table. They had to be open, but you couldn't finish them for sure, because then you'd have to buy another bag of chips, because then you'd be, likely to get COVID. But I still think my favorite, not really, part of it all was, I think, the mandate came really like the strictest one about food. That's when we got the sneeze guard, everything up. I think it was something like 300 breweries then spent $500 on this particular permit to last 2 weeks.
Yep.
Until the mandate was fucking lifted. So that means somebody got 500 times 300.
Yeah.
At fucking amount of money for 2 weeks of nothing.
We know exactly where that went.
Isn't that just,
yep.
I still just can't fathom. It's the amount of time is what really throws me.
Yep.
Like, you fucking knew when you first implemented this how long this was probably going to be.
Wait. Are you implementing government coercion?
Hey.
Hot take.
Allegedly.
I've never heard of anything like this before.
Never.
It's just so, the time frame. That's just very.
And that's our opinion, not the Florida Brewers Guild.
It is. That's, yeah. That's
right.
Me laughing.
Mm-hmm.
Hard.
Well, coming out of all that, so like you brought up earlier too, kind of trying to end on a positive note, festivals. What's going on with festivals,
yeah.
man?
So,
what are you guys
yes.
doing?
very, I mean, I'm really excited to get back to, it's funny, you know, pre-COVID, you know, somebody like, oh, another festival drives me crazy. You know, and then, and now people are like, I can't wait to get in a festival again.
You see them walk up to you, yeah, itching, like, their neck.
Please. And like, you know, so it's been cool in 2021 to have a festival here and there, to be able to participate in. The Guild will finally be doing it's. So we're doing one this coming weekend in St. Pete with in conjunction with City of St. Pete, the St. Pete Pier, and Visit St. Pete Clearwater, all Pinellas breweries, and it's called Beer at the Pier. And
why'd you call it that?
You know, just, it was a deep dive into really, you know, new names.
Deep dive. This guy with the buns.
So that'll be fun. The our first, it's actually our festival will be in January, and that will be over in Vero Beach at Walking Tree, you're gonna hear it first. Probably it's called Kegamania.
Oh. All right.
And there will there will be wrestling. We will have a ring set up.
Thank God.
Yes, there will be a ring set up. We will have Ignite Wrestling is coming to do to do a show. So we're working on that now. So that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really excited about that. As a child of the late 70s and early 80s, watching watching wrestling and as a big fan, I'm really excited about it.
Oh yeah.
So look for that information as it comes out. We're lining up breweries now. Then of course, when we get into March, Tampa Bay Beer Week, we'll be back. The Florida Brewers Guild Festival in Tampa, which is our big event every year, usually over 70 breweries from all around the state, all Florida, all craft. It's the kickoff to Tampa Bay Beer Week, and it's always a lot of fun. It's always a great opportunity to see everybody. A lot of these people I probably will not have seen for over 2 years, so I'm really excited for that. And of course, Tampa Bay Beer Week is always a lot of fun with Brewers Ball and Fooder for Thought and all that kind of stuff. I am assuming that those are happening during Beer Week as well. Obviously, we don't control those, but I don't know what or if Hunapu Day is going to look like at Cigar City, but that's always a big fun. I'm sure they will do something.
I don't want to speak for them, but I'd be kind of really surprised if not all of that happened.
Oh, yeah. And I think at this point, especially, we're looking now, 5 months ahead. Yeah. I think I'm going to assume that most everything will be back to, back to somewhat normal.
Yeah. Just the sheer fact that we can project a few months ahead now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bar some catastrophic event between now and then, knock on wood.
Don't tempt the gods, man.
Can you just do it twice? Knock right. again. You're making me uncomfortable.
And then we're looking at a couple other possibilities in 2022 as well. I'd really like to finally get a festival down in South Florida, down the Miami area. Obviously, we'll have the conference again probably first week of August.
Are you doing the Cider Sour?
Yes. So that'll be in December.
Oh, yeah?
Not this December, but 2022.
Nice. Cool.
It's always been in either November or December. Mm-hmm. This year, because we didn't do it in 2020, we actually pushed it to April of this year, and it was great.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really...
I thought I remember seeing it happen this year, but mm-hmm. I wasn't positive because I went 2 years ago then.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Yeah. We had great turnout. It was my son had just turned 21 2 days before, so he got to go to his first official beer festival.
That's so fun.
Oh, awesome.
He wasn't going once around.
He wasn't, because there's no
He's
way.
Never even heard of beer.
There's no way in hell I'm letting my underage son come to my festival just so I can get in trouble. Not going to happen.
90% of the time, I love you. 10% right now, 10% you're a liability. Right now, get the hell out of here.
10% fuck off.
you can carry the heavy stuff, but don't you dare touch a thing. He got to participate in that,
so cool.
That was fun. So we're really looking at 2022 as a return to normal and push forward kind of year. I think there's a lot of opportunity to do stuff. I think we've learned a lot over the past couple of years about how to do things better. And also, back to addressing issues and things, making sure that we've never had any reported issues at any of our festivals, you know, as far as, you know, harassment, inappropriate behavior, stuff like that. But that doesn't mean we can't take our precautions to make sure that those things don't happen.
And you're not, like, are you going out, you're not inviting breweries that you've heard things, or how do you go about that?
So first of all, the only breweries that are allowed to participate in our festivals are brewery members, are members of the guild.
Yeah.
Currently, there are no Florida breweries that are members of the guild that have any of those allegations against them.
Gotcha.
So.
Good.
Well said.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, cool, man. That's all I got. You got anything else you want to plug? Or
no, I'm just happy to be. It's cool to hang out with you guys.
And, oh, thanks, man.
And come
thank
up.
Thank you so much for driving up here. I'm so happy. It's, that
I think you're just
going to
be in the area or something.
Yeah. No, I, you know, it was an opportunity to come up and see you guys and just, you know. Since we didn't mention it, I'm really enjoying these beers you put in front of me here.
Usually, yeah. We talk about other people's beers that we're drinking. Yeah. We try, yeah.
But I'm perfect. But you know, I don't, like I said, I don't get up here as often as I would like.
He's buttering our muffin because he knows it was a release weekend, and
we'll send you home with some beer. Don't worry.
Oh, all right. If I must,
gotta post about it on social.
I'm mewling for myself.
God. And he said that as a joke. That's literally one of my biggest pet peeves. Like, if someone gives you something and they then at the end of it say like, hey, don't forget to put this on your page, or don't forget to post about it. I will deliberately go out of my way to not fucking post about it.
It's different if it's you versus me, who I've got like 2 followers. Yeah.
Not true, but yeah. Sure.
But no, I mean, you know, thank you guys for doing it. And you know, I've been enjoying getting caught up on the podcast. I think you guys are doing a great job. So it's fun for me to listen to, especially.
Thank you.
I mean, honestly, I even hate using the term industry insider, but I guess I am. But listening to it and, like, you know, I know you guys, and I know people that you talk
reference,
to.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, I know that guy.
You
know, I hear Tyler in the background. I'm like, shut up, Tyler.
Shut the fuck up, Tyler. I think him and Horace are named probably on half of the episodes.
I'm sure.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
It really is.
But, well, cool. Thank you guys so much. This was
thank
a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Yeah,
that was
thanks
a blast.
For coming in.
And
yeah.
It's gracing your face again.
Oh, thank
it
you.
Is. It's always a pleasure. And right. You guys need to check out their merch, too.
Yeah,
got
where
some
do we find you? Where do we get
their
merch? Yeah, so,
they have a lot of options.
Oh, shit. We almost were good at this until now.
Yeah, so, I mean, FloridaBrewersGuild.org. That's .org because we are a nonprofit. We do have a store that has our merch on it, t-shirts mm-hmm. and hats and all that kind of stuff. We also sell our merch at all of our events. And yeah, we do have a couple of new shirts out that I'm pretty excited about.
I love the one you're wearing. Is that new or is
this
that
is,
an
yeah,
older?
This is, yeah, this is new as of like maybe a month or two ago.
That's it.
If you are familiar with, well, and we talked about wrestling, yeah. The old WCW, the NWO faction.
Oh yeah, man.
You know, too sweet. So if you see, if you remember their logo, we've done a stylized version of FBG as NWO and yeah, I'm decided to get nerdy and make that happen. So
full legal parody.
Full legal parody, yeah. Absolutely. 100%. And you know, we've got some other fun ones that have some pop culture references that you might recognize.
Oh, yeah.
Some older pop culture references that you might recognize, like our Florida Summer shirt is one of my favorites. It's a little bit more of an obscure reference for people of a certain age, but I'm a fan of it. It's bright pink. So if you like pink, it's
a
good
yeah,
shirt.
That one. And they're always very, very creative and unique. You're not just going to go on there and just see their name on a shirt. And they're very cool. So,
yeah. And at the end of all of it too, check them out on social. Check out their website if you are either a brewery that's not a part of it or a brewery in planning. The amount of resources, the amount yep. of vendors, the forum alone. If you ever have questions, it's like the Reddit of brewing. It's awesome. So like, you could just be like, help, I don't know what to do. And then like 7 people would be like, all right, well, here's how you do it.
All right.
Well,
first yeah. of all, take a breath, dum-dum. And yeah. it's not that fucking serious.
Yep.
Turn the valve the other way.
Exactly. So it's, yeah, go check them out for sure. So
cool. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Oh,
thank you.
To the beer.
Yes.
Beer. Dead. Dead.